Good morning and welcome to church today. My name's Charlie, I'm the vicar of Lutworth, Coates, Batch and Bitterswell, and it's great to welcome you to join our church service. Hope you have a wonderful time celebrating the love of God, that you'd learn more of him, and that as we gather in this online fashion, you would feel part of our church. Yes, it is good to be together, to sing of God's love and power at work in his world. And we're aware that as we've been streaming these services online, meeting virtually, lots of different people are joining us. Some of you are those who've been going to church for many years, and you've got a great sense of separation and sadness as we can't gather in person. You're missing your Christian brothers and sisters. Well, we hope it won't be too long before we can be together again. But for others, this online church has been a great opportunity to explore faith, perhaps to come to church for the first time or return to church after many years. And we hope that as you join with us, you will have some of your questions answered, perhaps new questions begun to be asked, and that you would come to God and find in the one who made us, the one who loves us and who saved us in Jesus Christ. Today we're beginning a new series looking at the book of Psalms. It's the hymn book in the middle of the Bible. And as we look at these Psalms, we're asking that God would speak to us and teach us more of him, of what he is like, and how we can believe in him and follow him in a world that is often confusing or full of anxiety. So as we gather, we're going to pray that God would guide us by his Spirit, that he would dig deep into our hearts, that we might meet with him. Let's pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we come to God, we're aware not just of how awesome he is, but of how weak and feeble we sometimes can be, how stubborn we can be, how our hearts are often hard. And even as we sing, we know that the things that we sing are only half-heartedly believed. And so each week as we gather, we come in confession to God, acknowledging our need for him. Let's pray. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, and help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And the wonderful news is that God meets our need for forgiveness with his love and grace, that we are never going to exhaust his love for us, how he loves to forgive us, even when we wander. So may you know God's forgiveness, his blessing, his power at work in you and for you by his Holy Spirit. Amen. And now Leslie is going to introduce our theme for today.
Good morning. I'm up here in the corner. Isn't it exciting? We're starting a new series, a sermon series from the book of Psalms. And this morning, I'm going to look at just one tiny little verse from that series. It has a theme that is carried on throughout many of the Psalms. In fact, through our Bible, it's Psalm 43, verse 2. You are God, my stronghold. It is that God is our stronghold. Not only does he have a tight hold on us to keep us safe, but he also provides shelter and refuge. When I was a little girl, I used to make a tent in the kitchen from chairs and an old sheet and hide inside and play with my toys inside it, and it felt snuggly and safe. Of course, I didn't have much to be scared of or hide from when I was a child. But now I'm older, I have that same feeling when I talk to God, because no matter what's happening in my life, no matter what I get worried about or scared of, I know that I can turn to God and I'm safe with him. Now let's think about that word stronghold. Have you seen horrible histories? Then you may have seen a building that looked a bit like this. Now there's a strong building, isn't it? That looks like nothing could get inside to hurt the people in there. Of course, in horrible histories, the people in there would have poured boiling oil and hot water down on their enemies below. But our kind of stronghold isn't going to do that. Here's another example. That looks like a castle that is so strong that it stood there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And it has. We could be very safe inside there, couldn't we? And what about a stronghold like this? This is a very strongly built house, designed to keep a family safe from harm inside. In the days when this was built, there were bad people who went around thieving and stealing and killing. And this was a stronghold for the family to hide in. I know this one because I've been inside this one many times. It really is an impressive building. Well, I have a house too. Here it is. It doesn't look much like the big, tough stronghold that the others were, but it is my shelter and my refuge from the weather, from outside, and it's where I keep my things, and it's where I live safely with my husband, John. He has a bit of a second refuge too, out in the garden. I'll show you in a moment. To have somewhere to go is very important. We need rest and shelter. And our hearts and minds do too. And that's why we turn to God. Animals need rest and shelter as well. But first, let's have a look at my husband's refuge. It's his shed in the garden. Animals do need rest and shelter. And I think there's a little mouse resting and sheltering in this shed, or perhaps behind it. See if you can guess the kinds of creatures in these shelters. Yes, that's a badger in his set. And that's a puffin. A puffin in her shelter. And the puffin will lay an egg in there. And quite often the shelters are built on the edges of cliffs, so that the puffin and the baby puffins are very safe inside. They seek refuge in their nests, like seek refuge in God. We can think about shelter in another way too. Look at that for a stormy sea. Look at those waves crashing. Imagine if you were in a boat out on a sea like that. You would get thrown about. Even worse, you could get flipped overboard and swept away. If you're sensible, though, you will find shelter. You will find a refuge in which to stay until the storm is over. And for fishing boats and boats in general, that's called a harbour or a port. That is the safe refuge. God is our safe refuge. He wants to provide shelter for us. He wants to be the safe place that we can turn to. We are his children and he loves us. Now, that doesn't mean that life isn't going to be tough. We're never going to have hard times. We're never going to get into trouble or be hurt. But it does mean that no matter what happens, God will look after us. He will help us to deal with things. He will lead us through. We can take refuge in him. He will shelter us. We will make our way through our lives, and many different things will happen to us, mostly happy, but sometimes sad. But whatever our lives will be like, God is always there, ready and waiting to be our stronghold. Aren't we blessed?
The reading is Psalm 42 and 43. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God, under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the lands of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizrah, deep calls to deep, in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Don't leave home without a map. I'm sure many of us have been told that advice countless times. Don't leave home without a map. One of my memories of childhood travelling in the car was when I was first able to sit in the front seat and hold the road atlas. And I was entrusted with the task of kind of tracing our route and working out which way we should go. Now, of course, it didn't always quite go to plan. I remember one time when I was a teenager and I was on holiday in the German Alps with my dad. And that is the one time I have taken a trip into Austria. In fact, completely by accident. My map reading skills were not up to scratch. Now, of course, for those of you who are kind of 10 years younger than me and below, you probably will not have had that experience. For you, instead of road atlases, you just have to grapple with learning to interpret a sat-nav. I mean, what does it really mean when it says the next turning on the left? I mean, is it the next big turning or that kind of little turning that you think is kind of a road, but you're not really sure you're allowed to go down it? I mean, good luck with that one. At least road atlases, they kind of, you can look at it all in front of you. But, you know, as annoying as sat-navs can be, and sometimes, frankly, bewildering maps can be as well, if you are travelling through disorienting territory, you need something that is going to show you the route. It's the same if you're a novice climber. If you've ever been climbing in the outdoors or even at kind of a climbing wall indoors, you probably will have had that experience of standing at the bottom and looking up, sort of trying to pick out places where you could get a hold in the rock and tracing in your mind some kind of route through it and finding actually, well, I've no idea how I'm going to get past that point. What you need is someone to make that climb ahead of you to show you the way. And so it is with the Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms take us through disorienting territory and they show us a way through. They are authentic prayers. That is, they are people, written by people in disorientating circumstances, finding a way through one handhold after another. But more than that, they are God-inspired prayers, showing you and me a path to follow, a path of faith in disorienting circumstances. And in the next few weeks, we are going to see different psalms to speak to a whole range of emotions. But we begin our journey here today in Psalms 42 and 43 with a believer who is struggling to hold on. That might be your experience here this morning. Or it might be, frankly, quite a long way from your current experience. But sooner or later, if you are a Christian believer, that will be your experience. And so either way, you and I need to learn from this pathway of prayer. Now, Psalms 42 and 43, they are listed in the Book of Psalms as separate psalms, and yet Psalm 43 has no new title at the beginning. And it seems like 42 and 43 hang together. And there's so much we could see in these two psalms, but there are two things in particular that I'd like us to notice this morning. And the first is this. Psalms 42 and 43 teach us to pray with two hands. To pray with two hands. Let me explain what I mean by that. Picture again, if you can, the climber making their ascent up the rock face, going right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand. Well, we see a similar thing in this psalm. We see this psalmist taking hold of God, hanging on to him with two hands, moving from one thing to the next. One hand, well, it's the hand of honest prayer directed to God. That's the right hand. And then the left hand grip, well, he then speaks to himself, encouraging himself with truth about God. Prayer to God, speech to himself about God. Right, left, right, left. You see it there? Psalm 42, verses 1 to 4. He speaks honest prayer to God. And then 42, verse 5. Look there with me. He then speaks to himself. He says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." He turns from speaking to God to speaking to himself. But he then doesn't stop there. He then speaks again honestly to God in prayer in verses 6 to 10. And then verse 11, he's speaking those same words to himself. Then Psalm 43, verses 1 to 4, he speaks back to God again before then closing by speaking to himself those same words about God. Right, left. He moves back and forth between one hand and the other. Thing is, you and I, when we pray, we probably tend to pray with one hand or the other hand. We either pray to God honestly, pouring everything out, or our default in times of distress is to speak to ourselves and telling us ourselves how we should respond. And when we do that, we are like someone who is trying to climb with just one hand and the other hand, as it were, tied behind their back. So for some of us, our prayers are a raw torrent of emotion. And in those prayers, there's a wonderful thing. There is an intimacy there. There is an urgency and an honesty in our prayers. And yet, if that's all we do, if we don't also speak to ourselves about God and about trusting him, reminding ourselves of what he's like, we will struggle to hold on. For others of us, it's not so much that we don't ever speak to God, but it's that when we are consumed by those raw emotions of anxiety or anger, we default to telling ourselves truth about God rather than bringing those emotions and those chaotic feelings to God in prayer. We're fixed on telling ourselves that maybe you should trust God. God is trustworthy, so you should trust him. Soul, trust God. We do verse 5 of Psalm 42, but we don't do verses 1 to 4. And when we do that, that right encouragement easily just turns into self-accusation. As we tell ourselves, I shouldn't feel like this, and I'm going to kind of shake myself out of it before I come and speak to God honestly. But this psalm teaches us to pray with two hands. A climber that climbs with two hands obviously has twice as much grip on the rock, but more than that, one hand holds allows the next one to reach up and make progress. Together with two hands, they're enabled to climb forwards. And that's the second thing we see in the psalm. We see that this psalmist, as he prays with two hands, makes upward progress through honest prayer. He makes upward progress through honest prayer. By the end, in Psalm 43, we see here bold, confident prayer. But he's only able to get there because he's been very real in speaking to God. He's been real about his situation. And in fact, more than that, he's been quite blunt about God.
He starts in verses 1 to 4 by speaking of his longing. His longing to go and meet with God, with God's people in the temple in Jerusalem. Have a look with me at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? He longs to meet with God with an almost physical thirst, longing to be able to go and worship in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, this psalm is written by one of the sons of Korah, and the sons of Korah, their job was basically to be the cross between a bouncer and a worship leader. A bouncer, they were some of those who guarded the temple, but they also some of the musicians who led God's people in worship. And he is remembering back to that time when he was in the temple in Jerusalem. When he was, in verse 4, when he was joining in with God's people in praising God together. But now he is somewhere far, far away from there. More than that, he's surrounded by those who mock him, by those who look at him and ask with mockery, where is your God? Not only does God, where he meets with God, seem physically far, far away from him, but it seems like God is absent to answer his prayer. And the reason I've brought us out here for this part of the sermon is because, in a sense, that our time these last few months, away from gathering together to worship God in our church buildings, has given me a little bit more of a sense of the feeling of this psalm. Now, just to be clear, our church buildings, they are not like the temple. The temple was the place where God promised his people he would live with them and that he would be close to them to hear their prayer. And God is equally close to us, whether we're out here in the fields or whether we're gathered physically in a church building. And yet, I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels a longing to be able to gather with one another to praise God and meet God together.
It's one thing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to tune in on the internet, and hear someone sing through your speaker system and join in with your own voice. But it is something else altogether to be gathered together in a building, for me to hear your voice beside me, behind me, the sound of our singing swelling all around me as we celebrate together how great our God is. And I miss that. And I guess many of us do. Well, this psalm teaches us to voice that longing to God. And then to speak to ourselves, to put our hope in God, that the end of our story will not be one of isolation, but one of praise.
But before we can get there, this psalm teaches us not just to pray to God about our longing, but also our confusion. I think verse 7 is one of the most misunderstood verses in the Psalms. Verse 7 of Psalm 42 says, "Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me." I imagine many of us will have seen this verse put on calendars of Bible verses, and you get a lovely picture with it. A crystal waterfall cascading into a pool of deep, still water. And the idea is you're kind of meant to imagine yourself contemplating the depths of God. But that isn't what the psalmist is talking about. That's a long way from his experience. Now, in this verse, he is saying that he feels like he is being overwhelmed by waves of water crashing over him. That this waterfall, it seems, is probably raining down upon him, battering him. And he says of these waves and this waterfall, "God, these are your waves. This is your waterfall." He is remarkably honest. He does not try and separate his experience from God. In some sense, these are God's waves, God's waterfall. He speaks of God's love in the very next verse, in verse 8, a love that seems to be expressed in the fact that he is able to cry out to God, even in the midst of this. And yet that love makes his experience all the more confusing. "Why have you forgotten me?" he says in verse 9. And he hears no voice back giving him an explanation. And yet it is actually through speaking of this confusion before the face of God that he is enabled to then begin to pray with boldness. You get that in verses 1 to 4 of Psalm 43. Please look with me at verse 3. He says with boldness, "Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God." He imagines it. God, as it were, sending out his rescue team, leading him by his light, as he did with that pillar of fire and cloud when he rescued his people from Egypt, of leading him to his holy mountain to gather with his people in worship, where he will be able to sing to God once again. But the only way he's able to do that is by first speaking of his longing and confusion. Only through speaking to God of our longing and our confusion do we discover the boldness that begins to imagine that future joy. That future joy of praising God that he looked forward to was just a faint shadow of what we look forward to. Us regathering together in the building to worship God is just a faint shadow of that hope we spoke of last week, of gathering together with a people from every tribe and tongue around the throne of God and the Lamb, and of praising him forever in security and safety. But that upward progress,
that upward progress to a place of confidence, anticipation of the future, crying out to God for that future, comes only through this two-handed, honest prayer. That is the path of hope that this psalm teaches us. A path that takes us from desperation to confident prayer. Yeah, as we come to close, I know that for some of us, there is still a voice in our head that says this. Tom might speak about this path, but he doesn't know my darkness. He doesn't know my desperation. How can I imagine a path from the place that I am in this morning? Well, you'd be right to think that in many ways I don't know your darkness. I don't know all that is happening in your situation. Certainly, I have not experienced all the darkness that some of us will be in this morning. But this psalm points us to one who has experienced it. It points us to the one who the night before he died said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow." It points us to one who was mocked, who was taunted with questions by his opponents. It points us to one who was crucified out the city. It points us to one who cried out in agony to God and heard no audible voice answer back. And yet it points us to one who held on to God even through all of that. And he is the one who wants to draw near to you and me this morning. Because his prayers did not finally go unanswered. In his resurrection, he received the answer to those prayers in Psalm 43. In his resurrection, God vindicated him. God overturned his enemies' false accusations. God silenced their mockery. More than that, he was exalted to his Father's presence, to a place of unending joy. He completed the path of faith that this psalm traces out. And in him, our hope is secure. So secure because he completed this path for us, and because he comes to you and me this morning, wherever we are on the cliff face, wherever we are struggling to hold on by our fingernails, he wants to come to us, to guide us, to lead us on this path of faith, one handhold at a time. Right, left, right, left, slowly upwards. Please pray with me to him now. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you know the depths of darkness, and yet you persevered in faith along this path. And so we ask that you would draw near to us, that you would move our hands in faith to cry out to your Father and to hold on to his goodness. Please help us to follow in the path that you have gone before us. Amen.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you for bringing us back to some wonderful truths about God. Truths that are not just true, but make a difference. One thing that we've been doing in these online services is studying the Apostles' Creed, an ancient faith summarising what Christians believe. And each week as we gather, we say it together to remind ourselves of all that God has done, to show us who he is, and to bring us salvation. Let's say together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We're now going to pray to that God.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer and reflection on what we've heard and learned today? Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come now and direct our prayers and our thoughts to the Father. Teach us what to pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our sustainer. We thank you that you nourish our bones. We thank you for the love that surrounds us. We thank you that every day you bring us blessings and good things, Lord. We thank you that we can find rest and peace in you, and that we can rely and trust in you every day. Lord God, we want to lift up those that you have appointed in government over us. We want to pray that you will give them guidance and direction at this time, that they will take the right steps as we move our nation further and further out of lockdown, Lord. That you will help them to make the right decisions to revive our economy and help us, please, to avoid a second spike in infections. We pray that you will bring good things out of this pandemic, Lord. We pray that we will learn to appreciate more the things that we've taken for granted in the past. That you will change us, and that you will change us as a nation, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for our church leaders, Lord. We thank you for Charlie and the team that you have blessed him around him. We pray that you will give them guidance and that you will speak directly to them, Lord. We pray that you will help them to make the right decisions for us as a church, that we might move together as a body. That we might be one, and that we might be reacting and embracing you and the love that you've given us, Lord, that we might be that vessel of love to this nation. And Lord, we pray for those who are suffering at this time. We pray for those who have lost loved ones and friends and family, Lord. We pray that you will give them peace, and that you will know that they are not alone at this time. We pray for those throughout the nations that are suffering, Lord. We think of the situation in Yemen, and we pray, Lord, that you will provide relief and that the aid will get to the right places, Lord, to help the people there that are suffering. We think of those that are in those nations serving you, Lord God, that you will help sustain them and be with them, Lord, at this time. Help them to know you using them and speaking through them, Lord. Lord, we thank you for our benefits, Lord. We thank you for Lutterworth, for Coach Batch and Bits as well, Lord. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will bless this town, that you will draw near to us as a town, Lord, that you will help us to know you speaking through us, Lord, and speaking to us, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you care about us individually, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've been with us in all that we've done and encountered, Lord. Lord, even through the hard times, that you are there with us, even when we feel that we are alone, we know that we are not alone because you are with us. May you comfort us, Lord, at this time. And we pray that you will bless us throughout this coming week, that you will help us to make a difference for you, Lord God, but that you will nourish us and fill us with your love, Lord, throughout this week, that we might go out confident in the love that we have and the faith that we have in you, Lord. We lift all these things to you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for being part of our service today. Just a few notices I can give you. One of which is, if you haven't downloaded it yet, do have a look at our new mobile app for smartphones and tablets. So if you've got an iPad, just go to the Apple Store, search for Lutterworth, and you'll find our app. And that'll give you access not only to this live stream, but also to all sort of other information, details of events, and more media that we can share with you. The other thing is to say that we are currently planning the resumption of in-person services. We're going to begin them, God willing, at the beginning of August. So Sunday the 2nd of August will be the first time that we have an in-person service, beginning at first in St Mary's Lutterworth. We want everybody to have the opportunity to come to church, and so we're going to be issuing tickets for church over the course of August. We've got limited numbers of people we'll be allowed in the building because of social distancing. And so do look out for opportunities to book your ticket to come to church. We want to make sure that everyone gets a chance to gather. We will be continuing to stream though, so the service will be part live, part pre-recorded, and all streamed out at 10:30 on a Sunday. Do look out for an email coming out from me this week with more information. Hope you've had a good time, that you'll be able to join us next week after church for our Zoom coffee. So do again look out for details of that in church news. But for now, as we end with so many ideas, thoughts, dreams around, as we look ahead to the rest of our series in the Psalms, we look ahead to gathering together, we look ahead to summer club, and even to things being perhaps more normal in September, we are aware of, well, the many people finding things difficult at the moment, but also the many blessings that we're enjoying. So we'll have a moment of quiet as we bring all of those thoughts to God. And then please would you join me in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.